Today, is the door closed on a further rate rise in Australia? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, notice posts covering finance and property news. Well, the ABS released their latest on CPI, with the quarterly results in June and also the monthly data. Data, of course, feeds into the RBA's rate decision next Tuesday. And the consumer price index rose 1% in June 2024 quarter and 3.8% annually. So real prices are still rising. Underlying inflation, which reduces the impact of irregular or temporary price changes in the CPI, called the annual trimmed mean, was at 3.9%, down from 4% in the March quarter. That's, by the way, the sixth quarter in a row of lower annual trimmed mean inflation, and down from a peak of 6.8% in December 2022. At first blush, the data could be bent in support of an argument that inflation continues to fall, especially if you focus on the core measure, which is precisely where Treasurer Chalmers went in his statement, and in which he also argued that inflation was about 0.5% lower thanks to government support for electricity and rents, etc. While headline inflation is proving sticky and stubborn and is more persistent than we would like, it is less than half its peak, he said. Inflation is lingering for longer than we had hoped across the globe, and Australia's experience is no different. But then, remembering RBA Governor Bullock's thought that she would look through these temporary adjustments, the story swings perhaps more to a rise in headline inflation, which came as expected. Actually, the RBA is forecasting CPI inflation to reach 3.8% over the year in the June quarter, which is in line with today's result. However, for core inflation, the RBA was also forecasting 3.8% for June, so the 3.9% over the year pace was a touch stronger than they were expecting. So all up, CPI gained 1% in the June quarter, exactly where the market had been expecting it to be, but this was also lifting an annual pace from 3.6% to 3.8%. Remember, it was 4.1% in December 2023 and had peaked at 7.8% in December 2022. Incidentally, the momentum in inflation as measured by the six-month annualized pace, if you seasonally adjust it, was 4% over the year. But with the impact of the energy rebates kicking in again, the September six-month annualized pace is likely to drop below 2%. So you can make the number what you want it to be, really. All of this means if the RBA felt the need to lift rates, they could justify it. But also, if not, they could find reason to hold. So it comes down to judgment and weighing the political and economic consequences. Nothing here, though, to justify a rate cut. And yet, traders abandoned wagers on policy tightening at the RBA's meeting next week, and the currency fell by as much as 0.8%. And yields on the policy-sensitive two-year government bond also declined, while stocks surged. Traders are now pricing in a 67% chance of a rate cut in December. But remember, folks, Australian inflation has fallen by far less than its peers, and the ASX 30-day interbank is still peaking at 4.435 in October. The RBA has raised rates by less than global counterparts as it worries about the capacity of heavily indebted households to meet significantly higher mortgage repayments. The cooling in prices does suggest the central bank is on track to meet its goal of returning inflation to the 2-3% target sometime next year without requiring further action. Non-tradables, which includes goods and services and mostly influenced by domestic factors, were at 5%, unchanged from the March 2024 quarter. But price rises for new dwellings, rents, tobacco, and insurance contributed to the annual rise. And inflation for tradables increased for the first time since the September 2022 quarter, actually. Annually, the CPI rose 3.8%, with slightly higher annual inflation for both goods and services than in the March quarter. Prices rose for goods such as tobacco, new dwellings, automotive fuel and fruit, and annual services inflation continues to be impacted by the higher prices for rents and insurance. Automotive fuel prices remained higher compared to 12 months ago, while fruit and vegetables and clothing and footwear prices also rose. Across the quarter, the most significant contributors overall were housing up 1.1% and food and non-alcoholic beverages up 1.2%. The quarterly growth in housing was driven by rents up 2% and new dwellings purchased by owner-occupiers up 1.1%. The continuing tight rental market and low vacancy rates caused rental prices to go up 2% for the quarter, following a 2.1% rise in the March 2024 quarter. Rental price inflation, which was 7.3%, eased annually after a 7.8% increase in the year to March 2024, but remains elevated, reflecting the tight rental market. The growth of rental prices was actually moderated by changes to the Commonwealth Rent Assistance, with rent assistance rates updated by CPI indexation on the 20th of March and the 20th of September each year. In addition to the usual updates, the maximum rate available for CRA was increased by 15% in September last year, and increases to the CRA reduced the amount of rent payable by eligible recipients. Excluding those changes to CRA, rents would have increased by 9.1% over the 12 months to June 2024. Higher labour and material costs drove the 1.1% rise this quarter for the construction of new dwellings, and the increases follows a 1.1% rise in the previous quarter. New dwelling price inflation, up 5.1%, was steady across the quarter. This continues the trend of price rises for new dwelling construction by around 5% annually since the September 2023 quarter. But while annual price growth for new dwellings at the national level remained steady at 5.1% in the June quarter, there were some differences between the capital cities. Sydney and Melbourne prices were just 3.5% higher compared to 12 months ago, while annual price rises were larger in Perth, up 18.1%, and Adelaide up 7.4% due to strong demand and high labour and materials costs in those cities. Electricity prices were 6% higher compared to 12 months ago, up from 2% in the year to March 2024. Out-of-pocket costs for electricity rose, with energy bill relief fund rebates gradually being used up by some households. Most eligible households continue to receive the Energy Bill Relief Fund rebate in the June quarter. If you excluded those rebates, though, electricity prices would have increased by 14.6% annually. In fact, over the last 12 months, insurance and financial services rose by 6.4%, with insurance up 14% as the main contributor. Higher reinsurance, natural disaster, and claims costs continue to drive higher premiums for motor vehicles, house and home contents insurance. Price growth eased from 16.4% in March, but remains high. Across the quarter, insurance rose 3.1% with rises in premiums across motor vehicles, house and home contents insurance, reflecting those higher reinsurance, natural disaster and claims costs. Other financial services were up 0.7%, and that was the weakest quarterly rise since 2022. The rise was due to stamp duty and partially offset by lower real estate fees. The annual food inflation eased to 3.3% in the June quarter, down from 3.8% in March, and the peak of 9.2% in December 2022. Price rises were lower across most food categories, except for fruit and vegetable prices, which were 3.7% higher compared to 12 months ago. Unfavorable growing conditions drove higher prices for grapes, strawberries, blueberries, tomatoes, and capsicums. Meat and seafood prices fell 0.4% in annual terms, and compared to 12 months ago, prices were lower for lamb, down 10.9%, and beef down 3.6%, while prices were higher for seafood, up 5.6%, and pork up 4.7%. Looking in detail at transport, which was up 0.9% across the quarter, the main contributors to the rise were automotive fuels at 1.7%, maintenance and repairs of motor vehicles at 1.5%, and spare parts and accessories at 1.1%. Daily average unleaded petrol prices were volatile across the quarter, ranging from a peak of $2.19 per litre in April to a low of $1.80 in May. Public transport fares fell due to the Tasmanian government introducing half-price public transport fares from 1 June 2024. And motor vehicles were 0.3% lower. That helped to offset the rise due to the end of financial year sales, as well as competitive pricing seen in the electric vehicles market. New models entering the market at higher prices partially offset the discounting on existing models. Over the past 12 months, the group was 4.6% higher, with automotive fuel up 7.7%, maintenance and repairs of motor vehicles up 5.4%, and other services in respect to motor vehicles up 5.6%. Across the states, quarterly inflation varied from a massive 2.1% in Perth, 1.3% in Adelaide, both hit by high housing and rental costs, to a low of just 0.1% in Hobart. Another observation is potential price gouging from audio and visual and computing equipment. Prices did fall 1.2% in the quarter, but overall prices have barely moved since the pandemic. In contrast, in the US, Canada, and other places, those prices have fallen on average by more over the last 2 years. Australian AV prices are now 18% higher than Canadian prices relative to where they were in March 2018, and 41% higher than US prices. I call that exploitation. And finally, while the final month of the quarter often is hidden by its older sibling, it is worth noting that monthly CPI indicators rose 0.5% or 3.8% in June, a touch stronger than forecast. Nevertheless, the monthly indicator suggests that the momentum in prices through the quarter is moderating just a little. And talking of moderating, the retail sales figures for June rose 0.5% seasonally adjusted, with end of financial year sales boosting spending in June by more than usual, particularly on discretionary items like furniture, electrical goods and clothing. Retail said that consumers continue to target sales events and to look for the best deals before buying big ticket items like furniture, bedding, TVs and laptops, the ABS said. What it does show is that the volume of purchases are drifting lower, offset by higher retail prices, as inflation continues to lift the prices of, well, almost everything. While retail volumes on a per capita basis was down 0.9% and fell for an eighth straight quarter, and down 3% compared to this time last year. So there's another sign of economic weakness. So the bottom line, as I see it, is the RBA will most likely do absolutely nothing next week, waiting for more data and saying again all options are still on the table ahead. So it seems to me it's likely to be a pretty boring two-day meeting again. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.